Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. Chris, you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And Damien, you can find on Twitter at Damien Johnston. Our number one for the week is Curse Words on Image Comics by Charles Soule, art by Jordan Boyd and Ryan Brown. And our over-under, seeing as though, especially in this day and age, there seems to be a protest every other day, weekend, and this weekend, you know, with their whole inauguration of good old President Trump, this past weekend was chock full of them. So we're going to do over-under on protest signs. Don't forget to head to comicroast.com, check out all of our past episodes, along with all of our other shows that we dabble in from time to time, as well as reviewandroast.com to read all of our reviews, and you can buy yourself some good old-fashioned movie tickets for the good old-fashioned movie theater, right? Sweet.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
All right, so
Charles Soule.
I think it's Charles Soule.
Okay, well, just asking.
There you
go. It doesn't matter.
Either way, I have no idea. I don't know the man personally. He can feel free to correct me if he wants to come on the show. But if he doesn't want to come on the show, then we don't want to talk to him. That's how we get interviews, by threat. Doesn't really work, but hey, we got one next Saturday, so let's do it. Okay, this week, I haven't done much of anything, but we did finally yesterday break out Super Dungeon Explorer, which is
pretty Super Dungeon-y.
Yeah, it's a board game put out by Soda Pop Miniatures that is kind of based on old 1980s RPG video games, more or less. You know, you get your character, you explore the dungeons, and it wasn't supposed to take 4 hours, but you know, playing our first time through and you know trying to read through the rules and make sure we weren't screwing stuff up, which of course we did. But I mean, overall, I thought it was fun. I felt in my heart of hearts, because I was the, I guess you could call it, dungeon master. Like, my goal is to kill the other three guys that were playing. Their goal is to kill my spawn points and then kill the final boss. And I just felt like it was unevenly matched. I felt like the heroes had way more of an advantage until about the very end, when we realized most of the time when they were healing themselves, they shouldn't have been. So, you know, live and learn. You know, we kind of fumble around with every game first time around. But so far, I think the game has a lot of potential. I was a little disappointed to find out that out of the three or four really big monsters that came with it, only one of them is actually the boss. So, I mean, there's really only one, I don't want to say scenario, but there's really only one type of scenario, because you're always going to face the same boss at the end, which I thought was kind of lame, I guess. Like, I was kind of hoping they would make at least two or three different bosses, but I'm assuming there's expansions. I haven't really looked into it yet, but overall, it's a game I've wanted for a long time. We finally have it in our collection, so I'm pretty pumped. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like Legend of Zelda in a box.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Sounds awesome.
It's just kind of the only, my only gripe with it, really, at the first time through, aside from the fact it took way too fucking long, is that it's basically move, attack, move, attack, move, attack, here's a suit, move, attack, move, attack, and then that's pretty much it.
It is, but there's literally like a dozen different status effects in the book, as far as like, you know, weak, frozen, fire, you know, whatever, what have you, and my monsters only had one or two that I utilized a little bit, but like I feel like, I know Brian had four of them and his guy could have done. He didn't use them. He used one of them once in the 4 hours we were playing. I feel like those should be in play more, I guess, but they really weren't.
Yeah, mine were just, I don't know, they were okay.
Well, they were, a lot of them were just to weaken my characters, but 90% of the guys I had out on the board, you know, you hit them once and they're dead. So, I mean, who really gives a shit if they're weak? You know what I mean? Like, but, I mean, I don't know. I think a few more playthroughs will get a better feel, but I think so far I like it.
I agree. I got a chance. I got it for Christmas, and I had a chance to watch Blast of Silence.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, that movie is definitely pretty good. I was into it. I have to say, like, the woman character was probably one of the worst actresses I've ever seen in my entire life. yeah. She was, Because I mean, there's a, I guess it's, I don't know. I mean, maybe for its time, it's kind of shocking. The assault. I mean, it was pretty tame by today's standards, but the assault scene in the apartment was kind of like, holy crap. And she just like, please stop, leave me alone. And it's like, why aren't you like grabbing for the nearest sharp object and trying to stab in the side of the head with it? But yeah.
I think that probably is a little bit of a product of its time.
Right.
Because, you know, assaulting women in the 50s and 40s and 50s is pretty much just what you did.
Yeah, exactly.
Because our grandparents are fucking monsters.
I mean, sorry, but yeah, you're probably right. But I have to say, the narrator was the best. It was basically, he just, in this gruff old man voice, he verbalized all the dark and frightening thoughts that this guy was thinking as he's just walking down the street. It's like, you look at that lady right there, and you just want to bury your fist in her face. You're like, holy crap.
Yeah, I got a sense that Scorsese probably liked that movie quite a bit when he was thinking about Taxi Driver.
Oh, yeah, I totally can see that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those Criterion movies are the Criterion re-releases are super great movies, but they almost like, if that wasn't the first one to see, like, you kind of see like who maybe took those ideas and almost maybe made them better sometimes. So it's almost like those movies, I think, they're really great, but they're also just more important for like the history of film than they are as like here's an unseen treasure, you can't believe this, because there is so many things that you've later seen, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this, like when you're talking about the salt scene being kind of tame, it's like, yeah, by today's standards, I mean, she would have stabbed him right in the arm. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed it, and plus it's 77 minutes. I mean, you can sit down, watch it, and then go do some other stuff. It's not like you gotta commit to it.
Yeah. Did you watch the little extra stuff on that disc?
I started to, but actually the extra stuff is like way longer than the movie, and I was like, not that I'm not interested, but like I had a small time window to get the movie in. The good thing too is when I went to get it, I opened up my thing and I'm like, holy crap, I fucking forgot that I bought that, I got that last year, and I have like 9 movies that I haven't watched yet.
That's awesome. It's like extra Christmas.
Yeah, I'm like, holy crap, I did buy Dress to Kill and Rafifi. And that.
That's awesome.
I'm like, oh, all right. It's like getting new movies all over again, but they're old. So, yeah, that was, I totally, I got exactly what I wanted out of that movie. So I have to tip my hat to your recommendation. I probably would not have found it until way later, if not. So that was good. And then yesterday I just had a little fun trolling somebody on Facebook all day. So that was pretty good.
That's nice.
Me and my friend are keeping it going today. So,
well, now you have to explain.
It started out, this girl we went to grade school with posted something about all the crap that's been going on all weekend, and then my friend jumped in with his, you know, counterpoint, and then somebody jumped in with a, you know, slogan, so I made fun of her, and then this guy called me a snowflake, and that's the first time that's happened to me. I was pretty into it.
Oh, fucky.
So I was like, I have to indulge this guy. You see his picture, he's the typical mid-50-year-old white guy who lives in suburban Utah who golfs all the time and probably owns like a small landscaping company and thinks he's, you know, he thinks he's a rich guy because he lives in a 4-bedroom house. So
he's an American success story and he wants to share it all with you.
Yes. Except he had to call me names and called me a snowflake, which was like, yes.
I mean, there's another word I know you'd rather call us. Why don't you just use it?
I was totally good with snowflake because I was just like, I never really heard that until that Tommy Lauren girl came around. So I was like, oh, he totally opened the door, and now I have to walk through it. So I did, and then we just started making fun of this guy for literally the last 36 hours. I have no idea who he is.
I love turning that stuff around. And then there's this great Twitter back and forth with this dude. I wish I could remember his name. I think he's a comedian, but he was messing with this guy who's turned out to be kind of a gun fanatic, and the comedian started tweeting the gun fanatic guy, saying like, I'm gonna come over to your house and I'm gonna get all your guns and I'm gonna take them from you or whatever, and the guy's like, just come and try him, he goes, I'm in your house now, I'm making your guns kiss, watch this. And he's like, he shows a little video of two guns like touching the barrels, and he's like, I love you, man gun, I'm also a man gun and I love you too. and the guy was losing his shit. He's like, totally okay. Did not take it with any grace.
See, unfortunately this guy is not biting in quite the same way, which is super disappointing. Because as soon as he called me Snowflake, I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And he totally dropped out for a while, then he came back. Then he's talking about how he likes to chop up animals and make them into pants, so I started going off on that thing. And And I was just like, oh, I'm totally, I was just like making up all kinds of lies. I'm like, everything has to be, what the hell is going on?
That Hulk Hogan theme song.
Oh my god. Anyway, I just wanted to throw out there that it's been a lot of fun when I get the opportunity to make fun of this guy, because again, I have no idea who he is. I'm literally just trolling this guy and being super obnoxious and immature, but it's super fun, so I'm gonna keep doing it.
Awesome, do it.
The video's awesome. Hulk Hogan standing in front of the Liberty Bell pretending to play guitar.
I'll totally troll Hulk Hogan if I get the opportunity.
He's just a sad old man now.
Sad old man with $50 million to go spend on, I don't know, Viagra or whatever. All because he made a racist sex tape.
Did he?
Not like he called his friends up and said, you guys busy later? I don't want to make a racist sex tape.
Doesn't that sound awesome?
He basically did the, where he went on TV and did the Kramer thing, like, I've never ever made fun of an Afro-American. And you're like, oh, dude.
There we go.
You really should have just kept this one off the television and did whatever. Anyway, enough about Hulk Hogan.
Amazing. What'd you do, Chris?
Nailed it. Next.
Yeah. I hung up some coat racks.
Let's see. I went to the Women's March in Seattle with my daughters and my wife and two of my daughter's friends, and we marched for a few hours, and it was really awesome.
I'm going to go make a confession here and say that I did not go yesterday, so I feel really dumb.
No, you don't have to. I mean, it was like 4.75 million people or something around the world.
Yeah, it was like 3 million, so at least.
Nuts.
Around the world, eh?
Yeah, because there's people in London and
there are people in, like, India.
Yeah.
Australia.
I think you've done shitty business deals across the planet, I guess it's to be expected.
Oh, I mean, it's not. This is like a train everyone's seeing coming. I mean, this isn't, like, uniquely an American event. I mean, America being the most powerful country on the planet has affects every single living person, which is really bizarre. That's why we need to be slightly more responsible with our voting.
I mean, you would think, but America.
Yeah, America. America first, which is what Donald Trump said his inaugural address, and is literally a fascist slogan from the 1930s.
That it is.
There's a bunch of pictures of Dr. Seuss when he had done political cartoons, and he had had pictures of like a guy in a bath wearing like an America First hat. But back then they weren't baseball caps, of course. It was like a little top hat, and he's in the bath with like all these like octopuses and fish that have swastikas on them. It's real weird and very Dr. Seussy. Yeah, I did that. I got a giant tattoo on my hand.
I saw.
Yeah.
Nice.
Afterwards, I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Why?
This thing is insane. It's this giant scary wolf on my hand. I mean, I'm covered in tattoos anyway, so it's not a big deal. There's a tiny bit of me that's a little bit worried about what my job will think.
Do they? But, are they not aware of the rest of them?
Oh, no, they're aware. They're aware. I mean, it's Seattle, too. Like, I mean, it's not weird here, and I certainly am not the first employee who's had tattoos on his hand, but the last person who had tattoos on his hand was this girl, Anna, who just had these like really beautiful like geometric designs kind of all over her and like kind of sparsely, but she had stuff like going down her hands and fingers. Nice. This is a giant wolf with blood coming out of its mouth covering the entire top of my hand.
So it's a nature scene.
Yeah, it's a nature scene. it's my mama wolf.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, like, I don't agree with people who shun tattooed individuals, obviously, having tattoos myself. I mean, but like my job, like the lady who interviewed me and hired me, she is easily mid-80s right now. You know what I mean? So she is really, really old school. She's never, I don't think, swore in her life. You know what I mean? The very, like, the picture of the, you know, I guess, the sweet old grandma, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's never said a word. I mean, it's not like I'm covered in tattoos, but I do have one, like, on my wrist. You can see it all day, every day. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? But then they hired, the new guy, not new anymore, but, like, 2 years ago when they hired him. And this guy, I mean, he's got tattoos coming up his neck, all covered his arms. Like, and she, you know, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. But
the new boss guy?
No. Oh. God, no. Different guy. But it's just, like, I don't understand people's, I guess, problem with it. It doesn't make sense.
She She does seem to have a problem with the
other guy. Not at all. Not whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, but that's someone who you would think would like be like, oh, we can't hire that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know. People are weird. I mean, that's it is still, I mean, it's such a normal thing, but it does still have this, carries this weight, especially for older people.
It's so much more normal now than it was, like, say, when we were kids, but there still seems to be a few people out there who just, like, have an issue with it, which I don't get it. I just don't at this point. I mean, if you got, like, a swastika on your face, okay, I get it. That's probably something you don't want to representing your business. You know what I mean? But, like...
Yeah, I think I told you guys the story about the guy from Born Against talking to the dude with LSD tattooed on his forehead.
I don't think so, but, I mean, I'm game.
The short story is this, that Adam from Born Against was sitting, like, outside of a show before the show, like, just reading, and there's really no one there. And he's covered in tattoos. He's got, like, tattoos on his hands and everything, too. And this dude comes up to him, and he's like, hey, what's up, man? And Adam looks up, and guy's got LSD giant tattooed on his forehead. But he seems like relatively like a nice guy, like seems pretty like normal. So Adam's like, oh, hey, what's up? He's like, yeah, I'm just looking at your tattoos. And he's like, oh, thanks. He goes, man, they go like all over the place. And Adam's like, yeah, they're all over. The guy's like, I got some tattoos. And Adam's like, no, okay. thinking like, all right. Oh yeah. Like, so he just says like, oh yeah, like a question. The guy goes, yeah, I got LSD tattooed on my forehead.
God. Now, I guess the bigger question is, was it in reference to the drugs, or was it maybe in reference to Chicago's Lakeshore Drive?
I don't know. Maybe Latter-day Saints. Maybe he's, like, super into Joseph Smith.
Yeah, that could be.
Maybe he's, like, from a Brigham Young frat, and it was a hazing ritual. I mean, it's hard to say.
Or maybe he's a Beatles fan, you know, the Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
It's true. There's so many ways to interpret LSD on your forehead.
I feel like I need to talk to this guy now, find out what's going on in his mind. Oh.
I'm sure he's dead.
Okay, I'll bite. Why?
I mean, I don't want to just like stereotype someone right off the bat, but I mean, if we're putting money down on this, I'm gonna go put a good C note on him not being around any longer.
Holy crap! You have a C note.
I save it for sure bets or investments, as I call them.
Oh, I was say, I now like who's it. Surveying their land?
Yeah, no, who knows what happened to that dude? He who knows? He might be fucking Trump. Might put him in his cabinet.
I was going to say he'll be president in 4 years. So,
no, I'd probably vote for that guy, to be honest with you.
Probably would too. That's when people are like, just give Trump a chance. It's like, no, this is insane. When someone like that goes, it's like, just give the LSD guy in the forehead a chance. I'd be like, yeah, I kind of want to see where this goes. Like, I can't imagine it, like anyone's going to get hurt. It just, like, our flag might just get real awesome.
Yeah, it's just like, at this point, it's like, I understand you guys all thought it was great because he said he was going to drain the swamp, but you do realize he filled it with sewage. I mean, everyone he's appointed is probably the worst candidate for the job at this point.
Right, and that's why LSD guy, he comes from the swamp, so he's just, you know.
Oh my god, swamp thing is exactly. In our future.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's literally living in a swamp right now, if that guy's still alive.
Well, hey, like, I think I might be there soon, too, life. So I guess I'll snuggle up with him.
You know, to be quite honest with you, after seeing that video from Florida last week, I am going nowhere near any swamps.
Oh my god, right?
Oh, with that, like, actual dinosaur?
Yeah,
that fucking monster that comes out of the brush?
Yeah.
No way.
It's a crocodile the size of a horse, man.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Not that I was, like, clamoring to go to Florida, but forget it now.
My family's going there for Disneyland.
What did they find?
Oh, sorry. Harry Potter Land.
Yeah,
what did they find in the swamps of Florida? Sorry. A dinosuchus?
No, it was like was it an alligator or a crocodile?
Because that's what a prehistoric alligator or a crocodile is, a dinosuchus. And that thing back then, well, you know, whatever, Jurassic time, you know, Jurassic era, whatever, that thing was like 50 feet long.
No, it wasn't.
This thing's pretty close, man.
It was probably a good 25 feet, if not more.
Yeah.
And literally, like, on all fours, was at least 3.5 to 4 feet tall.
Yeah. So imagine that. A 40, 50-foot long crocodile.
Like, if you could tame it and get a saddle, you could comfortably ride it with, like, you and a bunch of your friends.
Yes.
I just like how everything was bigger back in prehistoric times.
Or in Texas.
Everything was supersized back then.
Yeah. Dude, the past was owned by McDonald's. Well, that didn't drop very well.
You had Megalodon, who was like, I don't know how long that thing was.
At least 2 hours.
Yeah.
2 hours? Yeah.
Versus Dino Octopus?
Right. Well, I guess we've got enough of a prehistoric
lesson. Even the prehistoric sea turtle was like, I forgot how big.
Real quick comic thing. I also caught up on Black Hammer all the way to the giant size annual number one.
That's the only thing I haven't read yet.
Okay, and that is like my favorite comic now.
Right?
It's so good.
I think it's actually a lot of people's favorite comic right now.
I bet it is. I love how it keeps like segueing between different kind of genres of comic. Like some of it's like full on like Swamp Thing, like kind of, you know, what do they call it? Like gothic horror. And then other things are more like existential superhero crisis stuff. And then there's like this weird psychedelic stuff. Like every character almost kind of encapsulates a different like subgenre of comics. And really, so every issue kind of becomes like its own genre, and it still like melds really well together. And I don't know, Lemire's really good at like taking his time with a script, which I sometimes find agonizing because I'm like, oh, just tell me what's happening. but he's doing a really good job with this. Like it's subtle, but it's not like too smart, you know, or there's nothing pretentious about it. It's just really good. Really good comic. I'm really loving Black Hammer.
Yeah, it's like, while I really want to know what's going on, like, it's not like on my mind as much because, like, the beginning of every single issue, you get a small backstory of each of the characters. So it's like, there are six issues in, but I feel like they're still, like, just building on the first issue. It's just.
Yeah, it's like, you're on a road trip and you don't know where you're going, and that makes you anxious, but the trip itself is so enjoyable that you don't mind.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Actually, I haven't read the annual yet either, but issue 6 was probably my favorite thing I've read since the beginning of the year.
That was with Madam Dragonfly?
And even though I was just like, this guy is a direct ripoff of Swamp Thing, and I want more of this guy anyway, because this is great. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a comic that Jeff Lemire is like working on with Son of Svengoolie or something.
It's so good. It's so good. The Swamp Thing thing was amazing. And that story was so tragic and awesome. Like,
careful.
I don't,
up there.
It's great. It's super good.
Agreed.
Also, just to throw one last thing out there, yesterday I saw the first volume of Department H is out, and it is the most beautiful thing I've seen in a bookstore in months, and I want to marry it.
Did you buy it, though?
No, because I...
You gotta move to Vermont for that, man.
That's right. Bernie Sanders will take care of the ceremony and everything. But no, I was going in there yesterday going, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to buy anything. I'm going to get the things that are in my box, and I'm going to get some sleeves, and then I'm leaving. And then they're like, oh, here's your stuff. And I'm like, holy crap, all this stuff that I had in my box that's been like kind of on the shelf for months all came back out this week.
Oh, geez.
So they handed me like a stack of like 14 books. I'm like, fuck, I forgot to cancel a few of these. I'm like, well, too late now.
Yeah, I love going to the comic shop and being like, all right, I'm probably going to spend like $20. That's pretty good. And you're just standing at the register, like adding it up in your head, just be like, God damn it, this is like rent.
There goes food.
There's been multiple times that like I go up to the counter to pay, and then they tell me the total. I'm like, oh, I wish you wouldn't have told me that. Just take my card and swipe it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need the number.
Yeah, that's why I was like, next week I'm not even.
And then you're playing Russian roulette with your card. You're like, hope it goes through.
Oh, I knew it would go through. It's just I didn't want to spend that much, or at least I didn't want to spend that much on stuff just like, in the box.
It's like if every time if them saying the number to you is like when you go to a crack dealer. If he was like, you know, this stuff's bad for you. Like, just don't tell me. Let's just pretend like this is just a great investment on all our parts.
Right.
Just move on.
He's like, but I got a PowerPoint like already in the back.
Well, it's like here, like basically how it broke down was I walked in, Jeff's like, oh, I'll get your stuff in a minute. I'm in the middle of something. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'm going to be here for a little while. So I found one thing. I'm like, okay, I got one. And I'm like halfway down the thing. I see Department H. I'm like, ooh, I might have a little bit of room left to buy this today. And then all of a sudden I start looking. I'm like, oh, Manifest Destiny's out. Oh, wait, that's out. Oh, fuck, my box is going to be really huge. And then he comes over. He's like, here you go. I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, well, try again in a few weeks.
You know what you should have done then is tell them, hey, could you take this Department H and put it in my box? And that way...
I should have done that. Because it's only $20.
That's what I did with the Southern Bastards hardcover when it first came out.
But it's like the other Matt Kent Dark Horse book where it's a printed hardcover. It's not just like, oh, we're going to throw a thing on the dust cover and yada yada. I mean, it was one of those like you hold it up and you're just like, oh, I want.
Yeah, I kind of want to get it now, but I've already read it all.
That's why I waited, because I was hoping, because they did it all with all those volumes of Mind Management. And I was hoping they'd do the same thing with this, and they did. And now I'm like, I got to have it. Like, and again, $20.
Usually, yeah, Matt Kent books belong in the library. You know, you gotta have those on your shelf. They're just so nice.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I really like this thing, and I'm just gonna wait. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So if you
it's good, man. I was thinking of all this stuff. I had a giant pile yesterday at the comic shop, and I realized like, oh, I don't get paid till Thursday. I really should not do that. I gotta feed my children, so I'll put stuff away. But I saw that. I saw a bunch of good stuff.
That's why I didn't go this week.
Yeah. My shop keeps a record of, like, you know, they're like, you're in the system, right? And I go, yeah, yeah. And I tell my name. They're like, oh, yeah, here you are. So I guess they keep a record of everything I buy. I'm really hoping they never share that with me. I don't want to know, like, what I spend in a year at a comic shop. It's not a lot. I mean, I know I don't spend a lot compared to some of my friends or whatever, but.
It does come in handy, though, like, when you're picking through all the singles and you're like, oh, I'm so far behind. Did I buy this one yet? Yeah, you did. Okay, cool. I'm putting it back.
Yeah, I've definitely double bought a few times because maybe I just hadn't read it yet. Like, I hadn't got to it, but yeah. I had it. But I pull off the shelf, like, oh, do I have this? I flip through, I go, oh, no, I don't remember this. I get home, and I was like, oh, I've got three of these now.
I did that. I keep buying this. I've done that with two different Black Hammers. I did it with issue number 2 and issue number 6.
Oh, yeah, you were saying that last week.
But at least issue number 2 was two different covers, so I'm keeping them both. But issue number 6 is currently on Amazon, so if you guys can't find it at your stores, bada bing, bada boom, you can go buy it from me.
Damn right. That thing's going to get picked up. If everyone else loves it even half as much as I do, that thing's going to be optioned, and there'll be like an HBO series that's all gritty and weird, and it's going to be awesome. It'll go up in value. So buy Scott's copy.
Yes, I need the money. Big time. All right, so now since we're back on comics, we might as well go into our number one, which was Curse Words. This must have bored Chris a lot because he just yawned in your faces, but this was Damien's pick, so we'll let Damien tell you all about it.
Yeah.
That was a duck.
Well, Chris actually shared the photo of that, or the, you know, the little JPEG of that photo on our little group chat there, and I was like, all right, well, I'm buying this. Like a hipster with a wizard beard riding a motorcycle running from a dragon. Yeah, of course.
It is kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, I was like, all right, well, this will be, at the very least, really fun. It was okay. I will to wrap up the story real quick without giving anything too much away. I'll say it's about a wizard named Wizord, which is strange to me. Who lands, comes to our world, and with clearly like a mission from some sort of like wizard cabal to destroy our world for some sort of ritual, decides to kind of like hang out in New York for a few days, and then a few days becomes a few weeks, and then before you know it, he's just like, this place is rules, and starts using his powers to help people, because clearly that seems pretty cool, and he just decides to sort of like hang out and chill out and just be like, you know what, I think I'll just be like super famous, not hide the fact I'm a wizard, not hide the fact there's magic, and just like have a rad life here, and that's what he does, and it causes him a few problems.
That it does. That it. You know what? I'm not gonna lie. When I heard, remember Chris talking about it, but I actually don't go on Facebook very often, so I never saw the picture of the cover. But the name alone, Curse Words, I was like, dude, this sounds like it's gonna suck. So Kindle it is, you know what I mean? Actually, I bought it this morning, and I was pleasantly surprised. I actually had a lot of fun reading this book. I didn't know idea that it was about a wizard that shows up in New York current times and just starts being a badass, but like sitting up in his high-rise office granting wishes for people, like, all right. You know what I think? I kind of liked it. Not going to lie.
I like how the title has nothing to actually really do with what the book's about.
Well, if you think about it, you know, wizards cast spells by, you know, by speaking the magic words or whatever, so curse words, you know,
Well, right.
And I do like the fact that, so he's basically offered his services up to anybody that will bring him, you know, whatever he asks for or whatever it is. But his three rules are no love, no war, no cures. Now, I understand the no love, I understand the no wars, but I don't know if I grasp the whole rule of no cures. What are we thinking there?
I don't know. I think if we stick with this, we're going to figure out, like, what backfired on him as he was, as he got to the point where he went from a wizard that people just realized existed to someone who, you know, basically granted wishes for people. I'm gonna assume something backfired, and that's where those rules came from. But I'm not sure. I mean, because he's very morally. I don't remember on the Dungeons and Dragons scale where he falls. Maybe like
probably neutral chaotic, good,
chaotic neutral or something, or
chaotic
neutral
good.
Or maybe just maybe lawful neutral. Maybe that's what he would be.
Something like that.
Yeah, but because he certainly does some stuff in the book that is super not cool.
Yeah, but yeah, that was very odd
for a good reason.
I don't know the way it ended, and I won't give anything away. But I thought he was just gonna like do one thing. I totally did not expect him to do what he did.
Yeah, that, exactly. Because the character they built up. That definitely came unexpected, but it made it more complicated and kind of interesting. So, I don't know. I think I'm going to stick around for a while. I agree with you. When I saw the word curse words and I saw the image, and I heard it was like the guy who drew God Hates Astronauts, which I never read, although I think looks really cool, but looks like nonsense kind of to me.
Oh, yeah. God Hates Nonsense. The only good thing about that is the character King Tiger eating a cheeseburger. That's his name.
Yeah, see, it's stuff like that. Like that's
his whole name, King Tiger Eaton Cheeseburger.
Yeah, and that sounds funny, but it sounds kind of too on the nose, you know? Like,
it makes like, no sense. I read like the
watch
first
out,
few issues, and that was about
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
but well, Ryan Brown is from here, great. Isn't he?
Is
Brian,
he kind of known?
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, I think he is from Chicago. I know he was at C2E2 thing like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Anyway, but yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I don't know. I may wait around for the trade, and a lot of this goes back to the conversation we're just having about how expensive my comic buying is. But
it's like, yeah, you don't need to add another pull to your list.
Yeah, well, when I think about how much trades are too, it's like, you know, the way Image always works is like the first four or five issues comes out, and then the trade comes out, and it's anywhere between like $15 and $20.
Right.
But then I look at those like four or five issues, I'm like, well, those are, you know, the same price if I buy them individually. And knowing me, like, I'm either going to just put them away or I'm just going to give them to friends. But if I sit down, if I get the whole trade, I know I'll sit down, I'll read it all the way through, and I'll kind of get the whole story, and I'll really get a lot out of it. I often, you know, we've talked about it before, but I often just go back and buy the trades of everything that I've had. Like, I'll probably buy the trade of Black Monday Murders, mainly so I can just kind of keep the story straight.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do that same thing with this, but... I'm glad it came out, like, for me, as enjoyable as it did. I thought it was either going to be really cheesy and silly in a dumb way, or it would be really cheesy and silly in kind of an awesome way. And I think it definitely is the latter. Like, I feel like this has a lot of potential for something fun. Although it could get weird, because, I mean, the wizard guy is a tiny bit douchey, so maybe this is going to get a little bit, like, Entourage with wands. I mean, I don't know, so we'll see.
That's like how he looks like he should be in ZZ Top.
Well, see,
he looks like every Filson model right now.
See, I was with Scott. Like, when I saw the title, I was like, oh, for crying out loud with this. I pictured a biker comic with a lot of swearing and a lot of nudity, and I was like, I don't even want to look at it. And then I read the synopsis, and I'm like, all right, it's better, but it's really still not drawing me at all. But I'm like, okay. And then I read it, and it's like maybe like the first third of it, I'm just like, I don't know, it's not bad. But I'm like, first of all, I hate when they... make up a language that's not a language, and then they try to translate it for you, and sometimes they decide not to translate it for you, like when he's in the park and those two cops start speaking his wizard language and they don't tell you what they're saying. I was like, oh, not this again. But then I think the moment I decided I think I've turned the corner on this one is when he's standing in New York after he decides that New York rules and he wants to stay, and he's standing there with his wizard beard and his wizard hair. And he's got this shirt that says, I love New York, and I audibly laughed out loud. I think that was the moment I'm like, okay, I think I actually like this. And then by the end, I'd laughed like five or six times. I'm like, all right, this is actually pretty good. And plus, I just kept thinking, like, Bozo the Clown meets Harvey Birdman. And I think I went in picturing Sons of Anarchy meets Lobo, and I'm like, oh, I don't want that. Come on. So just to get a completely different thing, plus that like double page spread where he's doing his like, I'm gonna help people, and he's, you know, saving Catherine Tree, and he's giving that guy, that pitcher, like a power arm and all the other stuff, and it kind of like goes through the whole thing all the way back to the beginning, which is where he fights the guy in the wizard pants, which is the, I hope that guy comes back. He's the best.
Oh, yeah. So, I can't remember his name, but it's something, it's something funny.
Yeah, and then his...
Oh, Cornwall.
Cornwall. Yeah. And plus, too, like, I bought one of Charles Soule's other indie books, Strange Attractors, I think it's called. And I was
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, I didn't. I bought the first issue, and I had a picture in my head of what it was, and then I read it, and I was like, nah, this is boring. So I was thinking, Charles Soule, plus the guy from God Hates Astronauts, and God Hates Astronauts was trying too hard, so I was like, nah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, no, this actually was a pleasant surprise, and this Wizard character is hilarious, so I'll probably check the trade out myself, because, like I said, I'm keeping my box at a minimum just to, you know, kind of pare things down for
you
now.
You know, the problem with me is I say that all the time, and then I never buy the trades, because I forget what I said that about. I need to have a better list of my comic books and what I have and what I've bought and what I want. I just, ugh. I try to keep a list on my phone, but half the time I pull it out, I'm like, oh, I don't know how accurate this is. Because I usually update it as I read them, not as I buy them, which is where why I keep still buying doubles.
Makes sense. You gotta do a, you have a little notes, Evernotes or something, one of those tabs on your, things on your phone?
Yeah, I have so many like lists of stuff, but I have one, you know, specifically for my comics, but I only update it when I'm sitting down reading them, not when I actually purchase them. So if I buy it and I don't read it for a month, you know what I mean? Like, now I'm double buying.
I know is I'm going to Toronto.
Yeah.
I feel weird with pulling out my phone in the comic shop too, because I feel like they think I'm like looking at Amazon to see like if it's cheaper or something.
I've done
which
that.
I'm not doing because I know it's cheaper.
You know what? I can't do that because like I don't know what it is with my comic shop, but like my phone gets no signal in there, and I wonder if they do it on purpose so people don't.
Oh
like,
yeah, they have a Faraday cage over the comic
right?
shop.
Right? It's weird. I mean, I literally, even if I'm standing right by the door, it's still really iffy. I have to like go outside. And yeah, that's right. Do we want a number and move?
Yeah,
sure.
All right. Well, why don't you go first? It was your book.
Okay. I don't know. I think I'll give it like a 8. Like, you know, I really liked it all the way through. I definitely think I'll read more of it. I don't think I'll read more of it next month, but in like 6 months, I'll read it again and I'll reassess. And I may want to go back. If next year we do like an end of the year regrets episode where we like regret things we numbered, like, oh, I wish I numbered this higher. Oh, I wish I numbered this lower. Like this might be the one where I say, oh, I wish I gave this a 9 or 9.5 or something. But right now I'm going to put it at 8. I feel like it's a safe place to be. But I think that legitimately tracks my enthusiasm.
First of all, I think we need to write down this end of the year regrets thing. I don't know why we didn't do it before, because I never.
I only started keeping track of the number ones like a few months ago, so I don't have the whole list from last year. But now I will have the list for the whole year.
We should do that. Let's do that at the end of the year.
All right. Yeah, we should also try and come up with an award show. We'll call it the Roasties.
Ooh! Oh my God, it's great. Or the Roast.
Well,
that's just where we get Miles Grab on the phone and just ask why he's so goddamn combative online all the time. I love Miles, but man, that guy, do not argue with him. He has so much energy.
Yeah, he doesn't care who you are either. Oh, we were friends? Guess what? Go fuck yourself, you're an idiot. Yeah.
Oh. I asked some question about Milo, and I said like, oh, you know, and not to him, like just to a general public, and I was like, yeah, do you think Milo like calling out a trans teen who, you know, who may in fact hurt herself or something, do you think that's like the equivalent of like yelling fire? I mean, could that be considered that? And he's like, no, dummy, learn some case law before you comment. I go, no, I'm asking the question because I don't know case law. Jeez, you big meanie.
You big and meanie.
And don't tell him Final Fantasy X was better than 7 or he'll lose his fucking mind. But no, I fucking love that guy, dude. He's so great. I there was like 5 minutes where I think I almost moved in with him.
Oh, my God.
He had a room for rent, and when my wife and I were separated, I was like, dude, I should live with Miles. That would be fucking awesome. And I really wanted to, but I didn't do it.
It's actually now it's kind of a shame that you weren't available when we interviewed him.
Well, I mean, I know him more now than I did when you guys... We should have him back. Oh, I should say, I also bought Alpha the Gold Rush 2 that came out. the second issue of his comic.
Yeah, he actually sent it to me to review a month ago, and I've just been super lazy, so...
Okay.
If you've already read it, why don't you go ahead? You can send me the review. I'll put it up.
All right. It's great. I think people should buy it. I really wish that he had a publisher. I feel like he's always like, oh, you know, no one would release an openly atheist comic. I'm like, I don't know if it even comes off as that. I think it's just like a solid, positive, science-based science fiction comic. Like, I think you should try to sell it that way. Maybe you shouldn't be the one to try to sell it to the publishers.
I don't know. I feel like he's openly atheist. I don't know if like you said, it doesn't really come across that way in the book. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So, but whatever, you know, to each his. Yeah. I don't want to argue with him. So.
Oh God no.
All right, we're still numbering, so let's have Ryan number.
Right. I was pleasantly surprised, and like I said, I audibly laughed probably about 5 or 6 times, so 8.5 easily. I'm not going to say it's the greatest comic I've ever read, but it's definitely a lot better than I had initially anticipated.
Christopher?
Yeah, I agree with Brian.
Nice.
I like comics that, like...
That do
like
stuff?
You see the that's why I was kind of like... I was like, this thing's going to be good. But deep down, I was like saying, like, I really hope this thing is actually going to be good. About a wizard who looks like one of the dudes from ZZ Top. And it's called Curse Words. I like stuff like that. Like, kind of like how I like, you know, like The God Hates Astronauts. When I saw that, I was like, and I looked at it, I'm like, man, I'm like, this is actually nothing about what the title says, but the unfortunateness of it is that it was really... It was really nonsensical, I guess. Put it that way. But this is actually pretty cool.
Well, I feel like a jerk now because I only gave it a 7, but that's what I wrote down, so that's what I'll stick with. It was, like I said, I didn't know what to expect going in. I liked what I read. The only thing that kind of got a little like, all right, I get it, was the whole like hashtag I'm with the koala or whatever the hell her name was. Like
Mary?
Yes.
Oh, Margaret, I'm sorry.
Margaret, yes.
Margaret. Oh, that whole thing was really weird where people are like, oh, I hope I get turned into a koala so I can fuck that koala.
But it's like every time on like the news or in social media someone brought up Wizard, there was always one person, and I don't know if it was the same person or just different people, like, oh, his talking koala is the best, hashtag, you know, go koala Mary or whatever the hell. But yeah,
people are like, oh, did you see him on Kimmel? Like, no, Margaret wasn't there. I didn't watch it. Like,
yeah.
It's like... it's kind of cool world building, but it was a little weird. And like the hashtag thing, hashtags, I mean, I understand their usefulness. They drive me crazy in like the vernacular, like the way we talk. I hate that we do that.
You know what? I know what you're saying, but I also have to apologize because I use hashtags in my texting all the time.
Well, that's what you should do. That's when you should do it. Well, and it can be funny. I mean, it can be funny when people use it, but just the ubiquitousness of constantly using, like, when my daughter will be like, you know, like, hashtag get the fuck out or something, and I'm just like, oh my god, hashtag shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I don't say it in conversation very much, but I do use it in text constantly because I don't know why. I just thought it was funny one day, and it never stopped being humorous.
Well, no one says ampersand when you're saying, like,
yeah.
You know, no one says Wilson ampersand Sons. You're saying Wilson and Sons, you know, it's like, It's weird. It's like you're saying exclamation point at the end of your excited sentence.
See, but here's the thing, too. Like, all growing up, see, when we were kids, we didn't know that as a hashtag. We knew it as the pound sign. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it wasn't... But these kids nowadays, they grow up, and that's the first... Well, what's that? Oh, it's a hashtag.
Oh, here we go, Kowalski.
Well, I'm just... No, I'm not one of those, like, these stupid kids. I'm just saying, you know, different, you know... Although it would be funnier if we just started doing, we should start a hashtag pound sign.
That's a good idea.
Hashtag butt lick.
It's weird.
I've also had 3 whiskeys, but I still think that's a great idea.
Well, I'm gonna start calling you with all my great ideas when you've had some whiskey. So get ready for that.
I still have this bottle of Bullet Bourbon, and it's really good. I don't know if anyone's tried it. It's great stuff.
I've always wanted to. I think the bottle looks neat. I just have never purchased it. Instead, yeah, I got Hartford Reserve.
All right, I got a question. So what is the Black? Hey, Damien, what is the Black Hammer Annual? Is it something totally different than the ongoing series?
Yeah, it's separate. It's just Giant Size Annual number 1. It's like they used to do in the 80s where you'd have like a bunch of different artists and stuff. So it's like one Jeff Lemire script, but it's drawn by like Matt Kent does a story, and Mike Allred does a story, and a couple other people whose names I've forgotten. So it's like there's one overarching little story, and then every time there's a kind of a breakaway of that story, it goes to a new artist. It's great. Super great. It just came out, I would say Wednesday, but my comic shop, I don't know if this ever happens to you guys. Actually, every comic shop in Seattle, all of the books got stuck in Oregon for like 5 days. Or not, maybe not 5 days,
what's
but
the name
like
of the
3 days.
What's the shop that you go to? You don't go to Arcane, do you?
I do. I go to Arcane Comics. That's my main shop, but they're kind of far away. They used to be like a block from me. I think you guys remember mentioning that.
Yes.
But now they moved up to this neighborhood called Shoreline, which is like 20 minutes north of me. So I go there when I can. But like 10 minutes away is another shop called The Comics Dungeon, which is also quite a nice shop. That I've been going there off and on for like 20 something years. They've moved like 3 times, but they're always got good stuff. I just don't like the way they organize their comics. Like Arcane Comics does it all alphabetical, regardless of publisher or anything.
That's what I like.
Which is the other one, Comics Dungeon does it by publisher, alphabetical, but then new comics have another section.
And then
if you also like, if you really like Ed Brubaker, there's an Ed Brubaker section of books on the shelf, which kind of makes sense to me. But then the issues of like Killer Be Killed will also be just like on a stand on that shelf.
That's weird.
It's super hard to remember, because then I'll be like, wait, is Matt Kent popular enough to have a space on the shelf? And I'll look around and go, oh yeah, there's the Department H's over there in the corner by the, you know, Steve Dillon books. Like, and it gets to a point where everyone is popular. Like, you know, you can't have a Steve Dillon, Garth Dennis, Matt Kent, Bill Sienkiewicz. You know, you can't have a section of a shelf for every single person. I mean, then there's Neil Gaiman, who has, you know, comics, but he also has kids books, and he has regular prose books, and he has people doing talks about the Sandman, and do those all go on the same shelf? It's just, I don't know why they organize it the way they do. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I understand wanting to highlight some of the creators, but like, you can't do it that way, because people aren't going to go look for that artist's section. They're going to go to that publisher, and they're going to look for it there. If they don't find it, they're going to leave. You know what I mean? Keep them in with the regular stuff, and then like have a rack by the counter or something that's like, hey, this is, you know, store favorites or whatever, and then you can throw a couple of issues of the shit up there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right. And, you know, and then if you are like a place like Arcane Comics, do what they do and have like a really extensive social media presence. Do you guys follow their Instagram?
Didn't know they had one.
I would recommend it. They always put up, like, there's 4 or 5 guys that work there. And they always put up their favorite book of the week. And actually listening to them argue about which books they should all put up yesterday was really fun. It reminded me of us a bit. This one guy, Kenji, was telling this other guy. This guy, Kenji, was telling another guy, and he was like, Kenji's like, well, what book do you want to put up? He's like, well, this one I really like, but it's number 2. He's like, so? He goes, well, we generally don't put number 2s up. He goes, it's a brand new ongoing series. Yeah, don't promote the new creators. They're going to just love that. And I was thinking, like, Kenji, take it down a notch, dude. Or Kenji. I was like, dude, take it down a notch, man. It's cool. Like, he was just, like, berating these guys, because the guy was just like, well, no, I feel like maybe it'd be more important to, like, showcase a new number one, because there's a new number one every month. And, you know, they really try to, like, branch out to, like, all the other publishers and try to get stuff that's not just the Image stuff. They're always, I mean, they're always pimping, like, Image and the DC stuff that they really like, but you know, they're trying to always get this other stuff. So when they're like, Instagram picks are like a huge deal for them, and it's real fun to listen to them argue about it. So I recommend, if you ever stop by Seattle, come in on like a Wednesday and just listen to them yell at each other.
Done and done.
I see that Kenji likes the WWE comic book, so that was
a bit of the discussion yesterday.
I bought that for my nephew.
He said he wanted his pick to be just him singing that Fuck John Cena song or whatever. Have you heard this?
No.
Maybe it's not John Cena. I can't remember who it is, but there's some song online about some wrestler, and it's like some, like, fuck that guy. And he wanted that just to be it. Like, he wanted to describe that WWE book, but have the photo or whatever just be a video of him singing that. Apparently they did not go with that.
Well, because I am aware of current wrestling thanks to my nephews, that is the Seth Rollins cover.
Okay.
They also have the Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose cover. I know way too much about current wrestling.
You need the Dean Malenko cover.
I think I saw something about him mention it.
That saddens me, because usually when you hear about an old wrestler, it's because he's dead.
No, it was a comic book related thing, and Dean Malenko was involved for some reason.
Now I gotta hit Google.
Oh, this is the one. If you look at their Instagram, the top thing right now is Chunks Joyce. It's the Rockstars number 2. that was the one they were arguing about, whether they should post it or not, because it was a number two. So there you go. Oh, look, and Jeremy's gem this week was Chris Word's number one. So there you go.
And another guy put up Kennel Black Blues, which was one I was curious about. Maybe I will give that a...
My daughter's showing me her Minecraft world right now.
Is this on the Nintendo or the PlayStation?
Nintendo. She has the Wii U, which is nice because she can just sit with it in her lap while I play Overwatch on the TV. We have a new rule in my house, though. You're not allowed to play video games until you've drawn a picture.
Really?
Yep.
Like, well, it depends. I mean, is there stipulations, or are you just dropped? I mean, a stick figure could be a picture. You know what I mean? Like,
it's you have to be able to justify it as being worth your time. So I said, even if it's a scribble, as long as you can sell me that scribble as something, you know, as something that's actual art, then I will say it's okay.
I like it.
That's true. Yeah. My daughter goes, what if it's like Johnny X art? It was just like scribbles and stuff. Do you guys know who Johnny X is?
I do not.
Do you ever see the movie, Todd Browning's movie, The Freaks, from like 1930 or whatever? With actual like freak show people?
I know it's been like a thing for a long time. I just never seen it.
Well, Johnny X was pretty famous from that time. You probably would know what he looked like. He was the half man. Like his body ended at like his, just like where his basically belly button would be.
Right.
And that was Johnny Ek. He was a magician and a circus performer and a bunch of other stuff. And my wife knows a ton about him because she worked for the Johnny Ek Museum and archived tons of his letters and all that stuff and was part of an art show in Baltimore last year because that's where Johnny Ek is from, is Baltimore. So my daughter actually knows a lot about Johnny Ek now as well. And she just said, is it okay if it's like a Johnny Ek drawing? Because his drawings were like scribbles. And it's true. They were. So she basically was like, if that's art, can my stuff be art? And part of me is saying, yes, it can.
I was going to say, they got a lot of game stuff there as well, it looks like, for their board game extravaganza once a month.
Yeah, they have a night every night, once a month, where they invite the public in, and they have snacks. They get, like, beer and wine and soda for the kids, and you can sit around, and they open up the games, and you can play board games.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, our shop does that as well, but I know a lot of other ones that are, like, completely, they're just not even on the radar of that sort of thing.
You know what? I mean, I was talking to a lady at work about this the other day, and it kind of is making me a little, I guess, upset, because this was my idea years ago, which is actually why we got the name The Comic Roast on this podcast, was because I wanted to open a comic book store / coffee shop, but I never had the money to do it, and now that thing seems to be popping up everywhere, and it's super popular, and I feel like because I'm too poor to open my own store, I totally missed the boat.
We'll just have to condemn the world then, I guess.
And they bit off your idea.
Hashtag sucks to be poor. They probably listened to our first episode and they're like, man, this guy's got ideas. Let's get on this. So, yeah. I'm just full of piss and vinegar today, I guess.
I know.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so moving on to the over-under, which was protest signs. Does anyone want to volunteer for first, or should I just run with it?
Go ahead.
All right. Overrated for me, and this is because I think it's ridiculous and I see it all the time, is, and I'm just going to generalize this because there's not one sign in particular here, but all of these pro-life, anti-abortion signs are absolutely ridiculous and they drive me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I drive home every day past Planned Parenthood, and these people are out there all the time, and it's like, dude, I mean,
the same people that were downtown yesterday saying get a job.
Yeah, like, God, come on. Whatever. But I know everyone has their own, you know, thoughts on the subject, but, like, it's so annoying.
You should post a sign on the side of your car that says, why do you have Tuesday off?
There's so many times I just wish that, like, you know, I would get stuck by a red light that puts me right in front of there, because I could just be like, dude, I don't even know what I would say, but it's just like, I probably would just roll on the window and say, get a job! But, you know, whatever.
Go back to Mexico.
That was a great sign when I was looking, doing research for this over-under. There was one of them was something about, oh, damn it. I don't remember. There was looking at so many. Something about the amount of tortillas you get when you order fajitas in a restaurant. I don't know. It was pretty much, whatever. I bombed on that one. Let's move along. Forget my sorrow.
What the hell?
I think we might have just lost Brian.
Oh, no. I'm good. Oh. What are you laughing at?
I'll show you guys. Don't worry.
All right. My overrated is this. Any of the signs that say "not my president." I don't know that it says a whole lot, and it's kind of, to me, it's just like you can
sort of
try
ignoring the horrible fact that he is your president.
Yeah. Right. It's just like you're trying to wish away something that you can't wish away. I mean, I'm not saying like just suck it up and accept it. I'm saying be more clever, be more specific. I don't know. I mean. And everybody uses it. It's not just one side or the other. No matter who's president, there's always some idiot. Not my president. So I guess you don't live on the planet for the next however many years. It's just so, like, I don't know. It seems like it seems like the kind of sign or slogan you use when you have nothing. Like, you show up and say, who's got cheesecake? I mean, at least that's asking a question about something that somebody can give you.
That's true. That's a good point.
I totally bombed. That's all right, though.
Look, it. There's a. Do you have one, Chris?
Give peace a chance.
I thought about one.
Yeah,
of those.
That is one of the more naive, concepts. I mean, I'm right up there with those people who are just like, it is completely okay to punch Nazis. Like, we do understand this, right? Like, I am not exactly a peacenik.
Right. That's kind of like how, like, I forgot when it was, but like. Maybe it was during the 80s or 90s, I don't know. But remember when, like, religious people were, like, protesting about the death sentence, you know?
No.
I mean, Catholics are generally against death penalty, right?
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I don't believe they are, but yeah.
I think it's, like, Christians in general are for it, but I think Catholics are generally against it. Like,
yeah,
hardline old-school Catholics.
Yeah,
like,
sorry,
my grandma would be against it.
You murder someone, no, you gotta die.
Well, I mean, I don't line up with that exactly, because I agree that should be a punishment, but I don't necessarily feel that the state isn't necessarily competent enough to hand out those things.
Right.
There was that guy.
Granted, it doesn't make it any better.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not worried about being better than another person.
But like, it's not going to bring your loved one back, so it's not going to make you feel any. You know what I mean?
Sure. No, I know what you're saying. You're just talking about it as a punishment. Which I don't know if I necessarily have a problem with or not, but my issue is there have been, like, at one point there was a politician, I can't remember who said it, but said, like, you know, the first time that an innocent person is put to death, like, there'll be people shouting from the rooftops to abolish the death penalty. Well, that's happened, like,
many times.
We know that's happened, like, many times, that someone totally innocent has been put to death by the state because other people were like, well, he seems guilty to me, so let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's mainly
for me.
It's because of that aspect that pretty much I'll go on record right now. I'm absolutely against the death penalty because there's way too many flaws and way too much. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Margin for error.
Yeah, but I was thinking of something a little more specific, but that'll work. Yeah, there's too many people in prison nowadays. Mind you, in the freest country on the planet, supposedly, we have the most people in prison, so go figure.
I will.
But there's too many people in prison as it is that are innocent. We don't need to be, you know, I don't know, I feel like the death penalty is just too much for anybody.
I'm going to appeal to Chris's whims for just a moment and quote one of, I feel, the 90s most underrated hardcore bands, and quote Downcast by saying kill the killers and we become the killers.
I mean, it's not wrong.
Plus Downcast.
Also to quote Downcast, hate comes easy for you, comes easy for me too.
Oh my god. You know what it was? It's funny you mention that, not to go off on a big thing, but during the very, very tail end of Everlast, just when we were starting to write songs that I was really into, we covered that song for like four shows, and I was like super pumped because our early days were very much in line with the whole clean cut straight edge thing, and towards the end, we're, you know, getting into
getting
others.
Dirty,
definitely. And yeah, when I was shocked. I guess I wasn't really that shocked, but when I suggested we cover that song, and everybody was like, "Hell yeah!" I was like, "All right, awesome, we're totally doing this." So yeah.
Oh man. I totally wish my 7-inches were in alphabetical order right now, because I would find that fucking Downcast 7-inch right now, because I think it's so good.
Yeah, I broke that out like a year or two ago, and I was like, fuck, this thing is still amazing.
Wait, did you say downset or downcast?
No, downcast.
Okay.
Slip of the tongue.
No, one's ever said that about downset and meant it.
Yeah.
Never. Never.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, dude, like, what?
Never, never,
anger.
Never.
Hostility towards the opposition. Anger. Hostility towards the opposition.
Oh, yeah.
Anger. After the sixth time of hearing that, I was like, dude, I am so embarrassed for this guy.
The only cool thing they ever did is when Brian, were you at the show when they played the Fireside with Madball?
No, I was not.
All right. They actually did Burning Fight by Inside Out.
Yeah, I heard they covered that, and that was actually the one reason I wanted to see them, but I never did.
Which they actually did an okay job of doing.
Yeah, I never.
But yeah,
one guy in Undertow never got to see him. Inside Out.
Rap core.
Anyway. All right, so... I will say, just to bring it back for a second about the death penalty, I'll say that guy in Texas that Rick Perry basically, like, did everything he could to make sure was executed, because he was, like, a father whose kids died in a fire, and the state basically said that he had killed his children as, like, revenge from his wife or something like that. I'm going to screw up the details here a little bit. But one of the things that convicted him is that he had Iron Maiden posters in his garage.
Wow.
Like, this is Texas. Like, they were like, well, he clearly is a Satan worshiper.
Like, so if this was the 80s, I think I would expect that. But that's
this was, I think, to the 90s. But, yeah, he died. I mean, he was put to death. Totally innocent. Like a bunch of evidence came out after he died that a lot of the experts that looked at the case were like, well, no, clearly this guy didn't start this fire. And they just suppressed all of that evidence. Like Rick Perry, the guy who's now in charge of the Department of Energy, the same department he wanted to eliminate when he was running for president four years ago. He actively pushed, and there's records of this happening, to make sure this person was put to death, who now and at the time was clearly innocent. And I think like his last words are like super brutal. It was like, you guys know I'm innocent, this is complete sham, fuck you Karen, or something like that, to his wife, who had like accused him of doing this. I you have to look it up. I don't want to completely change the narrative of that, but it's at the one time I looked it up, I was just like, oh my god, that's super brutal. I didn't commit it to memory, but it was tough. So I'll say that until, until there's just zero doubt, like, when you're dealing in the world of, like, you know, when you're just past the idea of solipsism, where you think maybe you are the only mind in the universe, like, when you get just past that and you have zero doubt that this person did something, that's where I would start being okay with it. But I think until then, I'm just going to be like, nope. So.
Alrighty. Your protest sign, sir.
No, my protest sign. So I was at the Women's March all day yesterday, and I saw a lot of them. And honestly, like, there's not one that I was like, oh, that person shouldn't have done that, that's stupid. But I guess what I would want to say is I think people should try to put a little more effort into them. Some people did a really great job, and some people just took, like, a cardboard box and wrote with, like, a Uniball pen on it. Like, you had to be literally a foot away to read it. And, you know, part of the protest is you're there is a big group to let everyone, the world and each other and everyone, know that we're there together and we believe these things. And the protest signs themselves are kind of that little you know, spark, that little extra thing that pops up. And some of them are really well done, like beautiful illustrations and great topography. And you could read it from 2 feet and 20 feet and 100 feet away. And other ones are just fucking terrible. And I almost wish, like, someone would just make them for people.
Like, you have to go to the protest sign store and get...
Kind of.
Well, I mean...
Like the nameplates.
If you have to be right on top of it to read it,
you see them
now
going in
good.
There. Can I help you? Yeah, I'm going to a protest tomorrow.
I wanted to say, this pussy bleeds red, white, and blue. Is that okay? Like... Yeah, no, I... I was there, and I would see so many, and I was like, you know, it'd be really awesome if you could read that from a distance. Like, this one woman had, like, she had a sign, it was just a piece of cardboard, and she had taped a piece of printer paper that she'd printed out on her computer onto it.
Her 8.5 by 11 on a 2 foot by 3 foot piece of cardboard.
Yeah. And on that piece of paper, there was multiple elements. There was a picture of Betsy DeVos, and there's a picture of a bear, and this is a great little thing, a picture of Bessie DeVos and a picture of a bear, and it said, one of these is a danger to elementary children, and the other one is a bear. And I was like, oh, that's totally great. But part of me was like, but only I'm appreciating this because I'm a foot away from you. You might as well just be passing out, pamphlets.
Yeah.
But then you're passing out pamphlets to a bunch of people who agree with you, so there's really no point. So that's why the protest sign is important. It's your voice to be heard.
Yeah.
And if you're talking so quietly that no one can hear you, maybe you should save the paper. I guess that's what I'm saying.
The only
I'm not
little...
saying people should do it. Just try a little harder.
No, I agree. But I will say that when I was looking at all the pictures and stuff before the show, the only little sign that I actually thought was kind of neat was it was literally just not even an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. It was just a piece of cardboard on a little stick, and it said, "I'm a little upset."
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty clever.
Is that your underrated?
That's good.
No, that was just a little a sign that was really small, but I thought was really neat. You know what I mean?
No, that is good.
My underrated, I was going to go serious with it, but I just figured, you know what, screw it. This is probably going to get as serious enough as it is, so I'm going with the awesome weird side. And the best sign I have ever read to this day is the one that says, "What do we want? Time travel. When do we want it? It's irrelevant." That is one of my favorite of all time signs.
I saw that one, and I laughed at that one as well.
That was actually, I did a little looking into it. Apparently, that was a real sign. That's not Photoshopped.
I assume they're all real at this point.
Oh, I assume they're all fake at this point. So, whatever. I mean, I literally, maybe a year or two ago, I downloaded a picture of some hillbilly standing there with a sign, and I took it in Photoshop and erased it so that I could put whatever I was sitting at work somewhere.
I did the same thing. There was actually, in the late 60s or something, there was a photograph of an elderly African-American woman holding a sign in front of her chest that said, "I believe in Jim Jones." And I was like, that's so great. And I photoshopped it so it says, "I believe in Brian Ryder." And that's one of my favorite photos. I mean, it's probably not even and I'm not saying I'm a Photoshop master, but it's probably not even my best work, but I still look at it, I'm like, yep. Because for a while there, I was super fascinated with Jonestown. And part of me was like, how did this happen? And another part of me is like, I gotta give the guy some credit. He's pretty, that's pretty good. the guy did some. I mean, it takes some effort to get all that coordinated like that over those years. Not celebrating it. I'm just saying it's very
impressive.
You're just respecting the craft. the craft of cult leading.
Yeah, I mean, it's if I had to pick a favorite cult, it's
mass suicide.
It's really, yeah. I mean, well, that's sort of debatable. I mean, it wasn't like. He said, "Everyone kill yourselves," and they're like, "Aye, aye, aye, sir." It was kind of like, "Everyone kill yourselves at gunpoint." And he's like, "What are we gonna do here? Do we kill ourselves or die?"
Man, yeah. If you want to be bummed out forever, watch that Jonestown documentary that came out a little while back.
Yep,
it is so brutal.
The PBS one where they interview the survivors.
He got put in their drink.
Well, yeah,
a lot of people were doing it intentionally, but a lot of people were doing it under force, and they forced all the children to drink it. And he would say, "Hey, if the children are crying, it's just because it's bitter." And it's not. It's because they were dying. Yeah, they were painfully dying. It's like, fuck.
Yeah,
and what was in it? Cyanide, right?
Cyanide, yeah. It causes your muscles to constrict so hard that you can't breathe in anymore. So you just drowned sitting there.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible.
And there were people there that faked it and then and lied face down in the pile of bodies until it was all clear. And then got up and tried to find a way to get out.
And Jim Jones totally fucking bitched out and shot himself in the head.
Yeah. But not before there was a senator and his press secretary or whatever that were about to get on a helicopter and then got gunned down on their way out. So
it's crazy.
It's like
crazy, crazy.
Yeah, hearing the story, you're like, how did that happen? You people fell for all this, and at the same time you're just totally heartbroken. There's just so many, the whole documentary is so crazy. But anyway. Not to depress.
Anyway.
Now that I've depressed everyone.
Yeah, right? Dick.
My favorite or most underrated protest sign is the one that says, "Stop premature Christmas decorating."
Oh, I saw that one too.
I saw that one too.
Yeah, I like when people bring a little bit of levity to something like serious, because it can't be all like intense all the time. Like, we have to also like have fun and enjoy ourselves, because that's what makes being liberal awesome, is that we're also hilarious. Like,
yeah,
because conservative people aren't funny. They've never been. They always try and it always fails horribly, because it's like, yeah, I don't know, I'm sorry, like, institutional racism doesn't really make me chuckle, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
like, we're the funny ones, you guys are the pieces of shit that make all the money. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah. And not to mention, it drives it's clearly drives he who shall not be named absolutely nuts that he's not funny, and the funniest people are ripping on him constantly, and it's going to make him more and more angry.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So,
yeah, comedy is definitely the best, I mean, free weapon, I guess.
Yeah.
Christopher?
Bring back Crystal Pepsi.
Oh, that was one I looked at, too.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I was just talking about Crystal Pepsi.
Or the one or the one next to it.
Oh, that was like, I shaved my balls for this.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think it's a question mark, though. It's like a period. Like, I shaved my balls for this. No, I shaved my balls for this. Like, it's like, yes, I did it.
Almost like he was trying to remember. Like, did I?
Well, I like to bring back Crystal Pepsi, because it actually, when I saw that, I was like, that's something Brian would have actually brought to a protest.
Oh, I would have. Yeah, I would have went full ridiculous. There's no way I would have.
Yeah, Brian's probably would have been like, I like waffles, or I like pancakes.
Yeah, it would have been something ridiculous. That's how I roll. That's how I messed with Larry yesterday. I'm not going to engage him on his terms. I'm going to do it on mine.
Oh yeah, totally. Don't engage those guys in any way that shows them any respect for their deficient fucking thinking. It's ridiculous. It's best to just make them so angry to make them think that their guns are kissing. Because it really bums them out. Oh man. Okay. I guess mine. There's a lot of good ones. I gotta tell you, this is super dorky, but I've really been. It's super dorky and it's kind of ghoulish. So I'm not gonna say this doesn't kind of make me feel a little skeevy too. But all the Prince Leia stuff, I was really enjoying. I liked my wife actually made a Rebel with a Cause and had a Rebel Alliance thing in the background, and it's kind of silly, like, but it's also sort of awesome to sort of like co-opt this thing that we all understand and we all recognize and bring that to the party in a way, because you kind of be like you know, that thing we all like, there's a message in that thing, and that thing was like, you know, rebellions are tough and they're hard, and sometimes you have to kill like a ton of innocent people on a Death Star who are just working there and just running daycares and pizza shops, like, sometimes you got to do that shit. Sometimes you break a few eggs to kill the all-day breakfast buffet that's on the Death Star. But, I mean, you gotta, like, take that shit down. And, you know, Carrie Fisher just died. So, I mean, like I said, part of me feels a little ghoulish about it. But at the same time, all of that meme about, like, you know, women, a woman's place is in the rebellion, like, that kind of thing, that's been long before she died. So, like, I'm cool with that. Like, it kind of celebrates her a little bit. Brings that stuff back. So I really like that, but that's not my favorite thing. I'm just going to say that I kind of like that, or I'd see like people just say like the Force is with us. And you know, the part of me that's like a total dork for Star Wars, I was just like a little tear would roll out. I'd be like, you're fucking right, it is. Like, but then, you know, then when I realized that from here, I can't crush that motherfucker's tiny heart, like I realized, well, it's not with us. Like if it was, I could just lift the Mar-a-Largo winter White House or whatever thing and just shake it until like red starts dripping out of it with my mind. Like, I can't do that. So maybe the Force isn't with me. But my favorite one was actually, it's so fucking dorky. And the reason I got kind of drunk for this is so I could do this. Was to tell you that my favorite one was a Shakespeare reference.
Was a Shakespeare what?
Was a Shakespeare reference.
Oh, okay.
And it was a sign. It was a sign that just said, I would eat his heart in the marketplace.
Nice.
And I don't know if you guys like Shakespeare, but that's from Much Ado About Nothing. And Beatrice says it. And it's this great little thing about, it's this great little like moment she has where she's talking about Claudio or whatever. And she says, and I was going to maybe perform it, but I don't think I will. But
you want me to pause it so you can have one more whiskey?
I'm drinking coffee now. I gotta be a dad. So. I mean a dad with like the least effort possible, but still a dad. But the line is, I'll give it a little flair here. Is he not approved in the height of villain that has slandered, scorned, dishonored my kinswoman? Oh, that I were a man. What bear in her hand until they come take hands and then with public accusation, uncovered, slandered, unmitigated rancor. Oh, God, that I were a man, I would eat his heart in the marketplace. And just that idea that this woman is just saying, like, this guy is such a piece of shit. If I could, I would just cut his fucking heart from his chest and eat it in front of everyone. I just think that is so badass.
That's question. Good.
Go ahead.
Did you just do that off the top of your head, or were you reading?
No, I read it. I had to look up the part. I mean, I knew what it was from, and I knew who said it, because I like Shakespeare. I mean, I don't love it, but I mean, I know. I had to do it a lot in class. I had an English teacher who was, like, so into Shakespeare that, like, we didn't read Catcher in the Rye or Catch 22 or All Quiet on the Western Front. We just read Shakespeare for an entire year.
Want to know what's funny about Catcher in the Rye? I read it in high school, and I actually really enjoyed it. I bought it again a few years ago and read it, and I was like, dude, this book is not that good.
Wow. I think it's a great book for high school kids. Like, yeah. I had read a lot of those. I mean, Mice and Men, I think, is solid forever, but there's books that I read in high school, like, that I was made to, that I went back to later, and I was like, oh, this is kind of sucky.
Yeah. I was thoroughly let down.
That age group, but it's just...
Yeah, I had such a good memory of it, too, and it's just been tainted now. Like, it's just, ugh.
I mean, like, if you read On the Road when you're 23 years old, you're like, this is amazing. If you're reading a 33-year-old, you're like, oh, my God, what a baby. So.
Yeah.
I was just going to piggyback on what you were saying about co-opting pop culture or whatever. Did anyone else read that Love is Love trade?
I did.
Yeah, like, they do a ton of that in there with Supergirl and Superman and Batman especially. And I, like, loved every second of it. I was like, this is so great. This is why these characters are important.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I actually, I saw it, and I was like, it's $9, and it benefits the victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting. Like, I have to get this. And it has a bunch of awesome artists and writers, and then, like, Patton Oswalt's one of the writers. I openly wept reading that.
I got a little at some points as well.
See, now I feel like a piece of shit, because I didn't know it existed until just now.
I think it's sold out pretty quick. I would have paid $20 for it. And it's not even that it's like, oh my God, this comic is like life changing. It's just important to just have, I think.
Yeah, it resonates.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the things kind of say the same similar message, but similar. Oh, that's pretty good. But no, I think it's one of those things that you just, I don't know. I think it's a good piece to have.
Definitely, it's good. I read it and I gave it to my stepdaughter because she loves comics and she also loves a girl. And I think it would mean a lot to her. So she seemed to really dig it. There was one little panel. It's just a one page. It's not even a comic. And it shows like a little boy hugging his mom. And then the background shows like a bathroom door with bullet holes in it. And it just has the text message from one of the guys who was killed in the bathroom. It just says, Mommy, I love you.
I don't know if I saw that one yet.
Oh, just ruined my day. But also it's just like, fuck. So, so brutal. So sad.
Yeah, my favorite one so far was the 9-panel Batman one where he's a different color in every one.
Mm. That was awesome. They did a really interesting things with some of those heroes. I, the superhero stuff is so good in there.
Yeah, and the Supergirl one too, where she's like hovering in space. That one was fantastic.
Yeah, definitely recommend. Everyone should definitely buy Love is Love if it hasn't sold out everywhere. We still have some in our shop in Seattle. I've seen them, but maybe because they just heavily ordered because it's definitely that kind of city, but. It's good, and if you can, I would say definitely buy it and send it to friends and stuff, even people who don't normally read comics, because I feel like it resonates quite well.
Well, I mean, honestly, around here, I got to my shop on a Wednesday in the early afternoon, the day it came out, and there were two left, and I got one of them, so.
Damn. Well, it is on Amazon still, so I'll just probably order it there, but, you know, and this is what you were saying, you know, buy a bunch, send it to your friends kind of thing, like. There's this house by my work that in front of the house, they built this, not gigantic, but, you know, a little box, and they put a bunch of little, you know, a bunch of books in there, and it's basically, you know, what a sign that says, you know, leave one, take one kind of thing, kind of like an outdoor library for people in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we have those little free libraries in the neighborhood. Those are great.
Yeah, I, like, wish I could do that here, and I so, like, want to start bringing some of the books that I, you know, have read but don't really care for. I just, you know, drop them in the box and... Because I know Starbucks does that kind of stuff too, where they they have their little bins there, where, you know, take a book, leave a book. That's just such a fascinating, great idea to me, and I want to do that here, but it's not my house technically, so I don't think I could just throw up a big book box in the front yard, you know what I mean? But plus, I lived right next to like three schools, and I feel like some asshole would knock it down anyway, so.
It's possible. I got my copy of V for Vendetta in one of those just a few weeks ago.
That's so neat. I don't know. Yeah. It's great. It's a great idea, and I wish one day I hope to do it. I don't know why that came out, but it's. Oh, that's it. I was gonna say, if I was rich, that's the kind of stuff I would do. I would buy like 100 of those comics and just randomly stick it in like people's mailboxes around the neighborhood. That'd be kind of
awesome.
Until I get arrested, but whatever. All right, so that was our protest signs over under. Now we move on to best thing ever. This was it changed a few times for me this week, but I'm going to have to stick with I think was my original one for the week, which is just going to be no specific album, but Clutch in general, because I've been listening to a lot of Clutch this week. I'm like, my God, I've over-listened to all these albums like when they came out or, you know, in the past. And I haven't listened to them in a while, and now I've just been revisiting all them albums this week, and it's like, they're so fucking good. So that's my my best thing ever is Clutch. If you like rock and roll, you need to get on board.
I named my band after Undertow Nine Iron Spitfire because of a Clutch lyric.
See, I just thought it was because you were into skateboarding and golf.
No. On the Clutch EP that's on Amphetamine Reptile, I think, MREP, the first song, a Shogun named, what is it?
Oh, Shogun named Marcus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He says, Kamikaze Backbone, Nine Iron Spitfire. I don't know why. I don't know what it means, but I thought it was cool.
That's where my email address came from, New World Samurai. Oh,
that's awesome.
Which is where your Twitter came from, Pure Rock Fury.
Yep.
Which is the only album that's not on Prime, which drives me nuts.
That's one of their better ones, too.
It is. They got, like, every album up there, plus, like, three live albums I didn't even know existed.
I like them all. I saw them, with Orange 9mm and Fu Manchu. And it was great.
Yeah, they're an amazing live band to see. One of the, you know, one of the best drummers that is underrated. One of the best lyricists that's probably underrated. Like, he's got a great voice as it is, but his lyrics are amazing to me.
And he's like legitimately insane.
Fallon?
Yeah.
I remember
like he really believes he was abducted by aliens.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard him on an Alex Jones thing on YouTube like a couple years ago, and yeah, he's like way into like Philip K. Dick and psychedelics, like yeah. Really into him. I don't know if he's like an LSD guy, but I know he's like, yeah, like take mushrooms and read Philip K. Dick. I'm like, well, I could see that.
Yeah, he's super nuts. I was when you remember Art Bell. You guys remember Art Bell?
Yes.
Yeah, he was like big in the Art Bell thing. That would make sense. I mean, Alex Jones is a piece of shit, but he definitely like he scrapes off just some of those like random conspiracy people,
yeah.
Which I think they're also insane, but often kind of maybe not harmless is the word, maybe just entertaining enough for me to ignore.
Yeah,
and like people who are just like talking about, you know, ley lines and aliens and Aztecs and, you know, time travelers and stuff. I'm just like, well, this is so stupid that I really enjoy it. So you guys just keep going, like you're not hurting anyone. You buy your Velveeta just like the rest of us with your pants on. It's fine.
Just keep your pants on.
That was the weirdest expression I think I've heard in a long time.
Well, I just made it up as I said it, so it was pretty weird.
That was pretty neat.
I'm into it. Oh, underrated, yeah. Oh. No, best thing ever.
Yep.
My best thing ever, I don't know if everybody here is familiar with him. I know Scott will be. The old wrestling manager, Jim Cornette.
He's still around.
Oh, he's the owner, CEO, proprietor of Ring of Honor Wrestling. But yep. He also does a podcast called Talking Sense with Jim Cornette. And he just goes back and forth between politics and wrestling and seamlessly just screams into a microphone for however long he does. And there's all these clips on YouTube. And I literally spent the entire morning today just listening to him go back and forth between how this valet was actually sleeping with this guy, even though she was with this guy. And this guy did this backstage. And Donald Trump's a piece of shit. And it's just great. And he
sounds awesome.
And he's always at 11. He never calms down. He never takes a breath.
He always was.
Yeah, he is exactly. It's if his 1980s wrestling persona was not only giving away insider information on wrestling, but also screaming about like liberal this, that, and the other, and Donald Trump's a piece of shit. Sold. And, you know, we had 8 years of this guy as a president, now we got this guy in a wig, and fuck him, I hope he gets fucking leprosy. And I'm like, oh, God, Jim Cornette is the best.
Oh, my God, wishing leprosy on someone is so hardcore.
He doesn't care. Because he went on, he did a whole thing on Linda McMahon being appointed to Trump's cabinet, and he went on this whole thing about what a piece of shit Vince McMahon is, and I'm like, dude, you're talking about, like, the Zeus of professional wrestling, like, just basically saying, yeah, fuck that guy, and I'm like, oh, man, this guy is the greatest human alive. And he's talking about coal miners and what stupid hillbillies they are, and I'm just like...
Oh, man, I like those guys.
Jim Cornette is amazing.
I'll have to check that out. I like liberals who don't have to be, like, sensitive about everything. Like, oh, no, we really shouldn't fucking punch Richard Spencer. Like, it's like, no, we should. We should punch him every day. It's like, I seem to remember the Greatest Generation getting their getting part of the reputation from fucking killing and stabbing and beating to death Nazis.
True.
It is Richard Spencer, right? That's the name. I don't want some poor Richard Spencer guy to...
some 56-year-old man in Oklahoma just trying to buy lawn bags. All of a sudden, somebody cold cocks him in the face.
You guys did see that picture, that video, right?
Oh, yeah. I watched it a couple times.
There's been a lot of really great, like, musical montages of it. Someone did one I retweeted today of, it starts with the drum fill of In the Air Tonight. So every time the drums hit, they just kind of replay the hit of the guy hitting Richard Spencer. It's like, do, 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 do. It's great.
I'll have to watch. I know there's one with Hatebreed as well.
There is. And someone put together an entire medley of, like, I think maybe the top 20 or 30 of them, of all these different songs. I think Hatebreed was in that medley.
I gotta
see. So you want to watch 3 minutes of that guy getting punched over and over again to in rhythm. That I'd look for that one as well.
All right, done.
Are you still with us, Chris? I'll take that as a no. You got a best thing ever, Damien?
Women's March, man, it's great.
Yeah, I seriously, like, suck for not going yesterday.
There's so many people in Chicago, dude, and they apparently were like, it was so many people that they couldn't go anywhere, so people just started kind of, like, marching in giant circles in the intersections I saw.
You know what, and not to be, like, whatever, but, like, when Brian was telling me yesterday, he was a little bummed that he didn't go, and I'm like, dude, I'm always bummed that I don't go, but there's two reasons. It's not only because, you know, I'd like to support this stuff, like, in person, but I feel like I would get some amazing photos with my camera at the same time.
I bet you would. I mean, it's the really, like, wonderful, lovable freaks come out in those things, too. I mean, it was, like, not warm yesterday, and we had those girls who, like, love to show up topless. And it's, you know, it's always very controversial, because that's such a, you know, naked breasts are, like, a loaded social thing. But you kind of, like, want to be like, yeah, you go, girl, and party. You want to be like, you must be fucking freezing.
You know what the weird thing is, too, is... I'm not sure if it's, you know, every state, but there are plenty of states where women walking around topless is not illegal, but they will still get arrested for it, which goes back to my whole police don't really know the laws, but it's actually not illegal in a lot of states for women to walk around topless, FYI.
There you go. I know New York has places like that.
Yeah, that's definitely one of them that I am aware of. But anywho, Chris's best thing ever? Sausage. I don't know. He's not here, so I don't know what he would say, but it's usually something silly.
Sausage is good.
I mean, I'm probably going to have some when we're done here, because I'm kind of hungry right now. So, all right. That's our show for the week. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at XOrsonX. You can follow Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can follow Chris at SkateXEdge. You can follow Damien at Damien Johnston. I also have a Instagram at Slevin77. I have a Snapchat. It's also XOrsonX. I have other stuff and things, too. We have a Facebook, facebook.com/reviewandroast. And Review and Roast is our review website where we obviously review stuff. So get on the comic roast train, and let's take it into next week. See you then.